Friends, family, and loved ones of Eunice, grace be unto you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Word of God for our consideration this morning is taken from the 10th chapter of St. Mark, which has already been read. We don't think very much about it, but this was an unusual thing that people were bringing children to Jesus. Children just weren't that highly thought of in the days of Jesus. And some of you may even remember that time when children were told that they were to be seen and not heard, like my Uncle Bill used to tell me at every single family gathering. And it was like that at the time of Jesus, seen, not heard, except much more. Except that you weren't really considered an actual human being in those days until you reached adulthood. So it was an unusual thing that these people were bringing children to Jesus. Most of the people, most people, Bible scholars and the like, think that those people bringing the children were mothers. Mothers always consider the children to be humans much before they become adults. And that's a timeless thing. Goes all over the timeline. Mothers understand very well that this thing growing inside of her is a human, a child. And these mothers want to bring their little ones. Luke tells us that infants are included in the group to Jesus so he could touch them and bless them. But the other adults, and they were Christians, when they saw the children, including infants, being brought to Jesus, they rebuked them. They rebuked them, told him to go away. Jesus is a busy guy. Doesn't have time for children, they said. Oh, yes, he does. Oh, yes, he does. But when Jesus saw it, he was indignant. We would call it, he was really annoyed. He was really annoyed. When Jesus saw it, he was really annoyed and said to them, "Let the children come to me, do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God." And you know, you didn't have to know Eunice for very long. I didn't know her for very long when I knew that she really liked children. Like first time we talked, wasn't very long before the talk turned to children. The first time and pretty much every time, children in general. Her children, my children. Her grandchildren, my grandchild. She loved children. And I had not known her for very long, probably again the first time, when she told me about those two special grandchildren, those two special grandbabies. To her, don't get me wrong, you were all special. She talked about all of you. And when she talked about you, it was clear that she loved you all with a mother's love. And down through the generations, the grandchildren, great-grandchildren, the family gatherings, you know, she liked those. They were hard work, and that's kind of the nature of family gatherings these days. They're kind of hard work, but I never got the impression that the hard work wasn't well worth the time spent with the people that she loved. Yeah, most people think it was the mothers who brought the children, including infants, to Jesus. But the writers of the Bible, none of them really say. Why don't the writers of the Bible clearly identify the people who are bringing children to Jesus? They just call them people. Why? Because the people who are bringing the children are not really important. It's the children who are important. And that they're being brought to Jesus. And what's most important is what Jesus does when the little children are brought to him, when they're brought to him. He took them in his arms and blessed them, laying his hands upon them. That's what Jesus did when the children came to him. Going against the grain of society in this, and he did that a lot, and the Christian religion has always gone against the grain of society. We try to shape it. It tries to shape us. We're against the grain. And Jesus apparently considers these children to be humans. Humans already. And Jesus loves the little children. Not surprising, given that he's the one who made them. He's the one that made them. And don't you always love things that you make? Broad picture. God using atoms like a child would use Lego blocks made all this, and there's a lot out there. He made all this, including a very sustainable ecosystem, complete with all that is needed to sustain human life. Things we take for granted, maybe, light, water, air, food, and the like. And to top it all off, God created the humans. Male and female, he created them, and they are also very sustainable. Just look out there, a lot of them out there. So, of course, Jesus loves the little children. They're his creation. They all are. And it was Solomon the king who, operating under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, penned the words we read in Psalm 127. Solomon the king, yeah, he finished poorly, but he began well. When Solomon became king of Israel, God told Solomon to ask for anything, anything, and I'll give it to you. And given that choice, Solomon, the author of much of what we call wisdom literature in the Bible, Solomon chose to ask God for wisdom. And these are wise words from Psalm 127, penned by Solomon. Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Lo, sons are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the sons of one's youth. Happy is the man who has a quiver full of them. And if you don't know what a quiver is, it's that thing you put the arrows in, a bunch of arrows, and I think if you shoot arrows, the more arrows, the better. That's what Solomon's talking about there. That's a good thing, to have a lot of children. And Eunice, yeah, she talked a lot about children. And when she would talk about her children and her grandchildren, and she would talk also often about the two special grandbabies, maybe point to the pictures on the wall, and maybe even talk about how she's going to see them one day. And then not too long ago, she told me about the cancer. And then we went away for a couple weeks. And we came back, and she was in pretty bad shape. But the one thing I noticed about her, talking to her, she was at peace. She was at peace. A lot of people aren't in peace when they hear that they have cancer, and then pretty suddenly they're staring at death. She was at peace. And in that and many other ways, she reminded me of my own mother. She knew how to laugh, and if you wanted to know what she thought, she would tell you. Maybe even if you didn't want to know, she would tell you anyway. About a week ago, I think the CNA came into the room, and Eunice told her to do something, and she says to me, there I go, telling people what to do. I don't know what she meant by that. She never told me what to do. I don't know who she was telling to do things. And then she knew that the end was coming, and she met it with great grace and dignity. She met it with what we would call that peace that passes all understanding. That Greek word in the New Testament comes from that Hebrew word in the Old Testament, shalom. Shalom. It's the word you hear when you leave church on Sunday morning. It means everything's going to be all right. Shalom. That no matter what's going on out there, in society, shalom. God is in control of his creation. Everything's going to be all right. A few days ago, and many of you were here for that, we commended her to God over at West Wing. We commended her to God, and we said, Eunice, go in peace. May God the Father who created you, may God the Son who sanctified you in the waters of holy baptism, receive you into the company of saints and angels to await the resurrection and live in the light of his glory evermore. And she was at peace indeed. The peace that comes from, like my mother, like my mother-in-law before her. Women who have been Christians for all their lives, who have known all their lives how this thing was going to end, who have known all their lives where they were going when it ended here, that they were going to heaven. Her inheritance. We talked about inheritance on Sunday. The text was about the man who wanted to know how to inherit the kingdom of heaven. What do you need to do? And the pastor here said, you don't do anything to get an inheritance. It's because of who you are. Because of who you are. That's why you get the inheritance. When we began this service by remembering her baptism, where her sins were washed away, where she was joined to the death and resurrection of Jesus, who rose to the dead from the dead, where she was made a child of God. And now she has gotten her inheritance because of who she was, because of who she is. She has remained a child of God, faithful to the end. She has now received that inheritance promised by God her Father, the same inheritance given years ago to the special grandbabies. And this Sunday, right before communion, we'll talk about praising God with the angels and the archangels and with all the company of heaven. And she will be among all the company of heaven. She's one of them now, one of that company of heaven, with the grandbabies, probably catching up on some lost time. And I have a lot of time to catch up on lost time, like an eternity. Amen. Peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.